Good morning. Today is Tuesday, November the 22nd. Joining us this morning is the Assistant Athletic Director, but you had something else on your title too, didn't you, Bob?
Associate Dean as well, yeah.
Oh, Associate Dean. Ooh. Does that mean you have the fancy robe at graduation?
Nah, not yet. I'm working on that. I got a few more classes to take to get the fancy robe.
And sometime baseball coach.
Former baseball coach, yes.
Yeah.
For quite a few years.
Bob Brown. Are they going to bring back the baseball program?
The baseball program is back.
It's softball, the spring sports?
All the spring sports are there. Baseball's been back for 4 years, and I coached the first couple of years back, and now my former player and assistant has taken the reins and is doing a nice job.
Miss coaching?
I do. I have my own little part of separation anxiety every once in a while, and I go out there and stick my nose in his practice and try to keep myself from inserting my opinion too much, but certainly have a love for the game still.
Have a hot dog and a beer and just kind of watch?
Yes, exactly. It's a lot easier being an armchair critic than it is actually being on the field.
Imagine. Our quote this morning is an unknown source. Be kind. Everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. That's kind of
a nice one for
Thanksgiving, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So what's the biggest difference going from the field to the office?
I looked at it as certainly a good challenge for myself to make that sort of next gradual step in my career. I've been coaching for over 20 years now, and so it was sort of a natural progression for me. I had had the opportunity, actually, in the unfortunate situation when the baseball program was suspended for a couple of years, to be an assistant athletic director at that time. So I got a taste of it, got myself into some academic leadership as well. And
what does that mean?
Well, I was the academic senate co-president for the faculty.
And, oh, okay.
And so that got me a taste of also another sort of leadership role for a couple of years. And those short-term roles kind of gave me the bug. And so that was the main reason why I took this opportunity when it came available a couple of years ago.
Oh, so it wasn't you missed the meeting?
No, not completely. But certainly, when you ask what's been the biggest challenge, I think it's kind of sort of a feeling of you going from coaching students and student athletes and one squad to sort of coaching a whole group of teams and the players and just sort of making sure that they're comfortable with their day-to-day operations as well as the coaches, and putting out little fires, as Joe and I tend to call it, on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, it's a whole lot easier, when you can stomp them out instead of have them consume you.
That's true. That's true. Yes, absolutely. Because you do have a few less sleepless nights, I will say, as well. But you seem to be certainly getting more done during the course of the day.
Is college athletics as complicated as people try to make it?
Well, being in it, I'm going to say, of course it is.
Not labor intensive, but yeah, it seems like either one side or the other is a perspective. Piece of cake, it's just high school extended. Or, oh my gosh, look at all the rules in the NC2A or...
Right.
Yeah, the junior college version is running everything.
Right. I think that it's the biggest jump, certainly, that a student will make as far as both in their academic and in their athletic career.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for some place different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bob Brown from College of the Redwoods in the Athletic Department. Would you say that?
The athletic department. Yeah, still the athletic department.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah. Yeah, that hasn't changed. Lots of things have, though. When you're now looking at budgets, you know, before it was, I would imagine, a chick in the nest,
mm-hmm.
waiting to see what mommy was going to provide you that you could then play with. Now, not quite the same.
Not quite the same, no. I certainly was only worried about maybe my own little one chick when I was managing just the baseball budget, but certainly have gotten much deeper involved as far as looking at the overall picture and the numbers and how to facilitate playing the team game for everybody and make sure that everyone's getting their equal share.
Well, bless you, got the rules on top of that, though, don't you?
Got the rules, compliance as well, yeah. Eligibility has become a whole new level of importance to me, and making sure we're tracking each of our student-athletes. And one of the great things that we do out there at CR, though, is we have a what's called a cap-and-gown program now, where it's a sort of facilitated study for the students, where we provide tutor support, and each of the instructors are actual coaches, and so it really helps with the accountability for them.
Who gets
in their
to teach
classes.
Calc?
The tutor.
That would be short straw.
Not myself. Yeah. But it's translated into some real great success, and it's really increased our persistence and retention of our student athletes, and that helps.
Is that common, Bob? Is that what all JCs in 4 years are doing?
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's overly common at JC. I don't want to say we're breaking ground either, but we certainly are trendsetting within this, and I think it's something that statewide there's been an initiative to increase persistence and retention success rates. We've had it going. This is our third year now. And last year was the first real indicator of data success, and we had a big jump in academic success, and we're seeing that translate into our returning players and more and more of our kids graduating and or at least being transfer eligible to 4-year school.
That's one of the things that I had always, when the guys were looking at their schools, was intrigued by, was that the 4-year schools got it. They had academic counselors. When they would go on road trips, it wasn't homeroom, but it certainly was. Academics were stressed. Right. Now maybe not at the factories, but the next step down, yeah,
right.
But that there was almost an ignorance of it, either conceptually or just lack of interest at the JC and at the high school level. That, you know, these were road trips, these were field trips, these mm-hmm. weren't study trips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it seems like that one is really rotated over and significantly.
It is, and for good reason. I think, you talked earlier about just resources, and so where do you best utilize your resources? And maybe there was less attention that was put on that in previous years. I think it's always been important to the coaches as well as to the instructors and the faculty members out at CR that you know, we have academic success and we also have college level academic success for these students, that they prepare themselves, whether it be a certificate or a degree, or if they are looking to transfer to the 4-year university. However, we haven't necessarily had the resources in place and or necessarily the design by which to support that academic support beyond just the classroom. And I think that's one of the great changes that CR's made a commitment to, certainly in recent years, is to design these programs. And also, along the way, it helps support some of the faculty themselves to become better teachers, to become better coaches. And when we see this kind of success, then it's something that we can utilize even in a recruiting stage when we're recruiting our student athletes.
Yeah, even just to have the coaches acknowledge that there's academia.
Right.
Is a bit of a shift in some applications.
In some cases, yeah, and absolutely, it's we initially even had a little bit of had to get some buy-in from coaches, you know, to say, hey, this is going to be extra time that you're going to have to put in as well, but this is how it is going to benefit you. You are going to have more kids transfer. You're going to have greater success when recruiting student athletes and talking to parents about this program. And then we also
you don't have the freshman rotation then either.
That's right. It's not a one and done or anything like that. And I think the other benefit that we've really recognized in it is that the families and students have bought in. Initially, sure, there was some pushback that okay, you know, our extended time that we're having to dedicate to the program. But now we have almost complete student buy-in to the fact that, hey, they're getting their work done, and that they we're kind of assisting with them organizing their time, and they're learning these skills that, that are necessary for them to be successful, both on and off the field.
Time management, I think, is probably one of the most challenging things, particularly in that age bracket of the traditional student, where you kind of look at it and you go, okay, hey, I'm free.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 200 miles away from mom and dad. I'm free.
Exactly.
And you see either the grades plummet or they stay, or in some cases they kick in because all of a sudden Johnny Jr. here has to grow up.
That's right. That's right.
Whether it's forced or whether it just happens naturally.
That's right. And that's the part I was speaking about earlier about, I think it is the biggest transition from high school to college, just the management of your time, as well as the accountability and the responsibilities that you now newly maybe have. You know, mom and dad's no longer doing laundry for you. So, you know, you're out there in the real world, as well as you're also getting a lot of opportunities. You are getting a lot of freedoms. And so it's important that they learn how to quickly manage their time.
I love that one phrase in the first Indiana Jones, choose wisely.
Choose wisely, absolutely.
It's 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bob Brown, the Assistant Dean and Assistant Athletic Director at College of the Redwoods. I think I got all those letters in there, right?
I think so,
okay.
Yeah.
Even CR.
Even CR.
Okay.
That's right.
Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Salvation Army, and Redec. Bob, looking at some of the challenges that there are today, we talked a little bit about the academics with athletic with the student population that, that plays athletics. I mean, student athlete, okay, fine. I don't hear him say student dramatist.
Right.
Or anything else. Obviously it's the PC thing. When you're putting together, if you had an Etch-A-Sketch, a really big Etch-A-Sketch, and no heritage, so it is a brand new school, it's not one that has won state champs, national recognition in any sport, or had you... had your cookies handed to you. I mean, you're just totally clean. How would you set up an athletic program?
That's a great question. I think there's two things that I would certainly want to take into consideration. One is facilities. Facilities is a huge draw for student athletes. And sometimes we kind of get caught up in the fact of just that, well, you just need the playing surface, and really the game itself should be a motivation to you. And I believe that that's true. And as a coach, you're going to tell your players that no matter where you're playing. However, I do think that, you know, in today's world, the aesthetic part of it is an important factor for students and for parents. And one, also just the safety of the athletes that are competing. There's a lot of it's a different game.
Like going in and seeing what the weight room facilities,
absolutely,
the locker rooms, yeah, the training room.
The locker room facilities, the weight room facilities, the fields themselves, and just in part, I think it's a reflection of that you indeed are taking care of your facility, as well as it's a reflection of the programs themselves. And I believe that there's a certain factor to the, if things look good and you feel good, you'll play well as well.
Let me throw a scenario. You could have $100,000 to upgrade your weight room,
mm-hmm,
and $100,000 for the locker rooms, and $100,000 for the training room, or $200,000 for the football field. Okay, all of them are functional now.
Okay,
what's going to impress most?
That's a good one, but I only get $300,000 total.
303 or a same amount to the big facility.
Yeah, I think initially you would still put the focus on the actual facility, the playing surface. The safety of the student athlete is certainly going to come first. Yes, it's nice to have the nice locker rooms and all the other amenities that go along with it, but the actual practice surface, playing surface that they're on every day would certainly have to take the top priority in that situation.
Which of those would make it easier to get alumni support?
I think it would be the field itself, to get as many people out there to the games as we can and to drum up that community support. And the original part of your question, that the second feature of I think that would be really important is especially in a rural area like this, is how we connect with the community and how we connect with our local sponsors, how we connect with our local athletes, as well as businesses and things like that that are really going to be the ones that are out there supporting on a regular basis. And if we're doing a good job of that and the teams are successful and they're getting an opportunity to come see the games at a nice area, hopefully they'll maybe kick in that extra money that you're leaving behind for the locker rooms and all the rest of it.
All right, let me argue the other side.
Certainly.
Now, we can either use Matt Court at Oregon or the East Gym at Humboldt. Both built about the same era, both had the same smell. Obviously, dimensions were slightly different and national success was slightly different. But the traditional versus the new and slick. But it was the weight rooms, my understanding, for a lot of the kids that were playing ball at Oregon and USF and a couple of the others we had some exposure to. It was the weight rooms. It was the locker rooms. It was how did you treat the kids? Basketball floor is going to be a basketball floor, you know, unless there's really something goofy like dead spots or things like that.
Right.
Okay, to have fancy seats.
Right.
You know, a scorer's table that's got the banner that's a little snap. You know, another four angles of the filming.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And yeah, because the kids were focused on the kids, not necessarily on the community, and that seemed to have allowed them to snowball a little bit into the current facilities that both have now at this point.
Yeah, and I think that would even be more true even at our level, the community college level, where, you know, funding is not necessarily the same. And so I agree with you, too, in the sense of that, you know, providing a good playing surface and a training facility for the students and being student-focused has to be the primary. But working with the community, especially in these types of settings, I think can also be very advantageous. We're not in an urban setting necessarily where we're competing with so many others in and around us. And so I think that, you know, things like opportunities to do this are important. And in when we support our students first, then it's going to benefit and pay all of us off in the long run.
KINS, News and Information Times, 842. We'll be back with more from Bob Brown.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
That's true.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. Final segment of the show with Bob Brown. Bob, as you look at some of the challenges that are out there, certainly the community stadium is a big challenge. Built by the community in the 60s, pretty much ignored by the school for a long period of time. Now you're in a spot where you can't ignore it anymore. Is it going to be as monumental a lift as it was when the folks who built the school and the community developed the funds for that? Is there something different? What's the status of the of the football stadium?
The status of the stadium is this project is indeed moving along. Yeah, it is a slow moving beast. It's a slow moving animal, but we are in the sort of the final stages. We've gone through all of the DSA work, and we've got a plan in place. When you say monumental shift, a monumental shift that's going to transpire out at CR over the course of the next couple of 3 years, which will include the stadium. The plans in place right now, the field house is also a building that needs to be replaced.
The Martians won't be landing here anymore?
No.
Okay.
And so that's also a project that is on, been shifted to some state funding with our trenching issues that we're having with that building, as well as our own physical education complex. And those have all been sort of moved up to a higher priority because of their actual fault line issues. And so that, along with the stadium, we're actually going to be putting the field house in that location. And the stadium itself will be a smaller version, but it's going to be a similar version. And
so it'll be a complex, nice more
yeah,
than
more
what it is?
Exactly, complex. So it's going to be a nice upgrade. This has certainly been something that has been needed and has been needed for a few years now. And I think that it'll make huge strides in not only for our students and our student athletes, but again, sort of a reconnection with that community and getting them involved with our athletic programs.
Well, a construction project of that magnitude, what are you, $10 million? 15 million?
Oh, it's a lot more than
still
that
more?
From some of the numbers that I'm seeing out there. As far as for our buildings as well, if you were to include the whole building project as well, physical education building, the field house, the stadium and the field upgrades, we're looking closer to the $50 million range that is going to be in the works.
That's a big impact in the local community, having that size project going on for a period of time.
Yeah.
Using locals.
The nice thing is a lot of this will be state funded, as it's said and done. Just to see it happen.
That's cool.
That in of itself will be just the sight line change will be great, and I think you're going to see some of that work starting as early as this early spring. So
cool.
So it's certainly an exciting transition for us.
You're going to be able to keep playing out there, or are you going to have to cut a deal like with Eureka High like last time?
Well, we'll see. We're hopeful that we can maintain, you know, through the seasons and stuff like that, but we're going to take it when we can.
Thanks for coming by.
Absolutely.
Thanks
for having me.
It wasn't nearly as hard as what they told you.
No, not at all.
See everybody tomorrow.